Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time for the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully something is popping up there early tomorrow morning. But hey, you should stop over there and see what's going on just in case. But since you are over there at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit the link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we have the Twitter feed as well, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, so, you know, Dan, we always kind of cross over the, you know, incredible stupidity things and all the other fun stuff we run into. Well, I believe if I heard this right last night, they were asking Harold Reynolds and Pedro Martinez about the Giants. You know, they've been on just this incredible run. I believe they're 15-3 or 15-2 in the month of July. So, you know, the big question, you and I actually touched on it a little bit yesterday, is will they be sellers at the trade deadline? And I believe that if I understood them yesterday, they told the Giants that they need to stop winning. I don't know if I got this. And to use a football quote from Herm Edwards, Dan, I thought they played to win the game. You know, and then
not when you want prospects.
So, you know, and I guess the other thing that I don't even know how to kind of hint this out there, but were they implying that they should be tanking and intentionally losing games?
Basically. I mean, I didn't realize Harold chose the company line or to reiterate what he told to.
So, because, yeah, I just found that really quite strange. I mean, if you're winning or you happen to be on a good roll, I mean, maybe you should keep going. You know, and the reasoning, of course, is because, you know, they can't stay on this roll for the entire, you know, the remainder of the season. But wasn't it just two, maybe 3 years ago? Didn't the Dodgers go on a run like this that basically ended up lasting for the entire season? You know, they lost like 10 games in the second half of the season or something like that. So why is it not possible for the Giants to, you know, and I don't expect them to play at this pace because that would be ridiculous. But, you know, they're in contention for a wild card. Why can't they continue to play at a pace similar to this?
Because it's an odd year and they don't win in odd years.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, just the, you know, the objectivity that was out there trying to listen to these guys. And, you know, and I mean, now I'm not saying they need to go out and make some gigantic trade or, you know, something like that, even though they could obviously use some pieces. You know, I think they could kind of, you know, run with what they got and see how it goes. But, you know, and then it was a lot of the, well, you know, they're going to lose Madison Bumgarner next offseason. Does that mean the Giants aren't allowed to try to re-sign him again? Is there some new rule I don't know about?
Well, neither the Orioles or the Nationals were able to re-sign their guy. So that means it's never going to happen again.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, because, I mean, you know, they're only, you know, I mean, you know, they've, heck, I think the Giants have won 9 out of their last 10. And like I said, they're either 15 and 2 or 15 and 3 in the month of July. They're only 2 games out of a wild card spot. You know, and it's just so kind of weird. I mean, I get it if you're the, you know, if you're in the National League and you're the Marlins or, you know, the Mets, the Reds, the Pirates, the teams that it looks like the door is kind of closed on. But, you know, to kind of tell the Giants, I mean, this reminds me of that goofy trade the White Sox made oddly with the Giants. I think they called it the white flag trade, where they sent like 2 or 3 of their veteran guys to the Giants for some prospects when they were only like 2 games out of the division lead. I believe it was before the wild card. So it was the, you know, they basically just called it waving the white flag. So it became the white flag parade. And yeah, I don't get why you're telling a team to quit. It's 2 games out of a playoff spot. And then like Chris Rowe pointed out that they're not going to win the World Series. Well, if they don't get in the playoffs, of course they're not going to win the World Series. But if you get into the playoffs with Madison Bumgarner on your pitching staff, you're giving yourself a chance to win the World Series, aren't you? I mean, he's like the greatest postseason pitcher of all time.
Yeah, except against the Dodgers as of late.
Well, you know, I mean,
but
in
no,
the postseason.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, oddly, they were the team that came in on a wild card win and then swept the Nationals, the best team in Major League Baseball. Or maybe second best.
Right.
I can't remember who was better, the Angels or the Nationals that year.
So, yeah, it just made me kind of, you know, kind of chuckle. And, I mean, I get it. You know, they're not going to catch the Dodgers. You know, that's clear. But, you know, once you're in, you're in. And, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen, you know, when you get there. I mean, obviously, you know, we mentioned Bumgarner, but, you know, Jeff Samardzija is a, you know, he's a very solid major league pitcher. You know, if they could just find another guy to kind of work there in the playoffs, you know, if they get out of the wild card game, they could be somebody you might have to contend with. And, yeah, I don't know. I think it was just the thing that the fact that they were like, oh, yeah, well, they should stop trying to win. Yeah, I think that bothered me more than anything else. But I, you know, I do have to ask you here, Dan. I thought this was kind of interesting. With the run the Giants are on, you know, they're now 51-50. They're tied for second in the division with the Diamondbacks. Did this streak they're on just make the Rockies and the Padres sellers at the deadline here? You know, because the Rockies for a long time were a serious wild card contender. I don't think you can say that anymore. And the Padres were always kind of hanging around. I don't think anybody thought they were gonna be a wild card team, but you know, they hung around. But I you know, I wonder, do the Rockies have any pieces worth trading? You know, I mean, because like you know, Arenado's got his long term deal, and you know, I don't think they're gonna be moving Trevor Story. But I did see somebody say that maybe they would listen to offers on Charlie Blackmon.
I would.
You know, and I mean, I don't know how the Yankees would fit him into their outfield, but I'm sure the Yankees would be a top candidate to get him, wouldn't they?
Yeah, or, you know, another team that's looking for more field positions is the Cubs.
Yes. You know, they would need a, you know, definitely need more outfielders. You know, you can't get enough outfielders if you're the Cubs, and you just get enough of anybody if you're the Yankees. Nashville, that would work out perfectly for either team there. But yeah, I am looking here. Blackman does have 2 years with two option years left on his deal. So he's got a decent amount of cash to carry. I wouldn't be surprised. I know the Rockies are down on Wade Davis, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him go. But, they have guys like, Ian Desmond, Daniel Murphy, even a veteran catcher like Chris Iannetta, there might be a team interested in to bring him in as a backup. Do you think they possibly turn it around here and be like, all right, it's time, let's see if we can move some of these pieces?
I think they should definitely move at least a couple. I wouldn't move everybody. But kind of throwing a crazy one out there, two teams that really don't make moves. I mean, what do you think about the Indians and the Athletics? I think Blackman would be kind of maybe a little better situated than the American League.
Yeah, well, the Indians you can throw out on you can eliminate them from anything, because even though they're in the wild card race, I honestly believe they would still rather prefer to sell. They've been trying to limit payroll, and it's actually kind of a humorous situation, when you think about it with them, because all they've wanted to do is get rid of salary. And, they couldn't find a deal for Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer in the offseason. And, now they're magically, I think they're two games up in the wild card, if I remember correctly. Let me double check my internet cooperate with me here. Yeah, and it's one of those things you look at, like, how is this happening on a team that really doesn't want to be here?
Well, don't forget to mention that they're also only three games out of, the division.
Yeah, they've been slowly but surely catching up to the Twins, who, have kind of faltered. But, and then Kluber threw off the mound yesterday, so it's probably not going to be too long till they get him back. And, yeah, it's just in such an odd situation here. I mean, you've got a team that's contending that doesn't want to contend. So I don't see any way, shape, or form that they actually go out and buy something. Even though you kind of look at their team and they probably need an outfielder more than anybody else. With the way this shakes out for them, I mean, they've been just kind of piecing it together. But yeah, it's almost confusing with how they've somehow managed to do this when they just didn't want to. So yeah, I don't know. Oakland already did make the one move. They made a very atypical A's move by going and getting Homer Bailey. I don't know, I don't think they would be in on a guy like Blackman, because that's a lot of money for them to carry. And, with the exception of Jonas Cespedes, the A's really don't do that kind of thing. So I would be shocked if they made a big move. I wouldn't be surprised if, they went and got like a Hunter Pence or, one of those guys who was at the end of his deal, getting ready to go into free agency. But I couldn't see them, going and chasing like a Charlie Blackman or something like that. So, but, then again, you with the good old, with the A's, you do never kind of know what's going to happen with them. So, we'll of course see how that manages to go. But yeah, I would be I would be shocked to see either of those teams be the team that – I'd be shocked to see Cleveland make any type of move, but I would be shocked to see the A's make a big move. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm trying to think, besides Hunter Pence, some of the other names that are going to be coming up in free agency, and I heard one earlier, and for the life of me, I can't remember who it was. But, a guy like that would be a really nice, a nice fit, providing Hunt Pence can still play the outfield. I know he's been majority DH, but I'm sure he could, I'm sure he could play the outfield a day or two during the week. That would be too big of a, too big of a deal here. Let's see if I can hunt down that other name I was thinking about for Oakland while I was here. Well, I guess I could always just sign Matt Kemp. He's out there, right? So. Oh, I know. I think they were – or no, that wasn't them. That was the Cubs. I can't remember who else was mentioned. Oh, duh, I should have remembered this one. Dan, why hasn't anybody tried to go get Yasiel Puig?
Because the Dodgers traded them.
I mean, if you're looking for a guy for the stretch run, and I know he struggled a little bit in the first half. Well, I shouldn't even say a little bit. He struggled mightily in the first half, but he's rolling along pretty well right now. He's up to 261. He's got 22 bombs. He would add power and defense. He's in the last year of his deal, so it probably wouldn't cost you too much. And then you bring him in, you try him out, maybe you like him and try to re-sign him. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking for an outfielder, I mean, how perfect would he be for the A's?
Well, he would be awesome. I mean, but, not that it would happen in Oakland, but do you think the big market pressure of L.A. got to him?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just don't think his personality fit there really well. They had like a veteran club. Remember, Zach Greinke hated him. I don't know what issue was between them, but Greinke did everything in his power to pretty much get him off the team. So, it didn't seem like a really good fit there. If it's me, if I'm Derek Jeter, this is the guy I'm chasing in free agency, and I'm setting my rebuild up around this guy. You got a Cuban-born player in Miami on a rebuilding team, who's got that kind of personality, but, that's just me. I mean, as for now, if I'm a contender, and I think I need an outfielder, I would be making that call just to see, what they want or, they're asking, where their asking price is. I mean, Minnesota just lost Byron Buxton again to the injured list. That wouldn't be a bad fit there. I believe I heard Tampa Bay, apparently their first choice is Hunter Pence, but, that could be an option where they, they turn and, go get Puig. So, I don't know. I mean, you would got to think he would be a pretty popular call right now, but I haven't really heard his name. Have you?
No. And oddly, MLB trade rumors doesn't seem to be very active in posting much, which I'm sure is slightly due to the inactivity of rumors.
Yeah, it seems like everything on good old MLB trade rumors is just guys getting hurt or released, isn't it lately?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you would think with us being, 7-8 days away.
That always does make me question when, I don't read a rumor, when I read a rumor on another site and then it's not on, MLB trade rumors, I start to wonder how much validity there is to it. you know, because they always seem to have kind of the inside track there. So. But, yeah, it is, you know, it's going to be interesting here when it kind of boils down to it, you know, because you also got to kind of look and ask yourself, you know, what are the Red Sox going to do? You know, I mean, they're sitting on the outside looking in. I honestly think they shafted themselves when they tried to be the smartest guys in the room with their pitchers. And that apparently is blown up in their face. So, you know, would they actually sell? You know, and I mean, you do look here last night, Dan, I don't know if you saw this one, but their new closer made his debut. I don't know if it was in a save situation or not, but Nathan Eovaldi came in, worked two-thirds of an innings, gave up 5 hits on 3 runs, but he did strike out 2 guys, Dan. So his strikeouts almost equaled the number of runs he gave up in his appearance. So that looks like that experiment is off to a really good start. But, you know, I mean, they're a team with obviously a boatload of pieces if, you know, anybody would be really interested in paying the price, of course. I don't know. Do we see the Red Sox as selling a guy? I mean, they're going to have to find a way to pay Mookie Betts in the offseason. Could they maybe move a guy or two to try to get that done?
Yeah, or is Mookie someone you want to continue to go with?
Well, you would think, you know, I mean, he would be a guy you would possibly want to keep around. You know, I mean, I guess the tough part is I don't know how much of a market there is for their guys with long-term deals. You know, David Price has a big money deal till 2022. I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, JD Martinez can actually opt out after this year, but he'll make $23.75 next year. I don't see that happening. You know, they just signed Eovaldi to that 4-year deal. He's not going anywhere. Sale signed through 2024, and Bogaerts is signed through 2025. Is there really anybody else on the team you want?
No. Maybe Rocky. No, I mean, I don't think they're moving him.
No, you know, and I mean, with his contract still sitting in you know, pre-arbitration, you know, Dan, he's actually making $614,500 this year. So talk about a steal. You know, but, like, they still have to pay Dustin Pedroia for 2 more years, whether he plays or not. You know, they have Rick Porcello, Mitch Moreland, and Steve Pierce all coming up on the end of their deals, but those are 3 guys. I don't think there's a lot of interest there. Brock Holt and Brandon Workman do hit free agency, but, you know, they're both 30-plus, and you're not going to get a ton in return for them. So, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it's interesting that they could be sellers, but do they have anything to sell?
No, well, I think, you know, is it a long-term contract that put them out of the Craig Kimbrel talk? Do you think that hurt them?
Yeah. Well, that was part of the reason. You know, they wanted to stay under the luxury tax. So.
Well, and the MLB doesn't have, like, a restructuring clause like the NFL does, do they?
I don't believe so. So.
You know, I mean, because at this point, you might as well pay Dustin Pedroia for the rest of his life so you can sign a few more guys.
Yeah, I think there might be a way to work that out. And then, you know, of course, like you always tell me when I forget, you know, I'm sure his contract is insured, you know, since this looks like it's going to be a career-ending injury. Whoa! I leaned over, my headphones fell off. So, you know, I'm sure they've got something there to protect us from that, but...
Yeah, but the downside of that, though, is it doesn't really take away from, you know, the numbers on the books, so to speak. While they might not
Right. Really
have to pay it, it's still, you know, accounted for when it comes to the luxury tax.
So, yeah, you know, like, you know, but yeah, kind of looking at the team, I mean, it, you know, are you... You know, obviously, you know, Porcello makes a lot of money. He's at 21.5, but you wouldn't have to pick up all of that because the year is almost over. But, you know, if you're a contender, is he really a guy you're looking at to fill out your rotation?
You know, I mean, you brought up the Giants and selling or buying. You know, would he fit there and would he make a difference if they are able to get into that third wild or second wild card spot?
You know, or you wonder maybe, you know, see, this would be a guy I could see a team like the Brewers adding because, you know, they would only be on the hook for the rest of the year. You know, so I could see where that would kind of work out for them. You know, and I actually lied. Dan, Mookie Betts actually has one more year of arbitration before he reaches free agency. So they're at least safe for next year, but I can just imagine he made $20 million this year. I can imagine what next year's contract will be. But, yeah, so I could see maybe like the Brewers buying in and hoping Porcello could kind of regain his form. But, yeah, other than that, I don't really know – you know, if there would be a lot of interest there otherwise, you know, on some of these guys, you know, I mean, just for kind of the length of their contracts. So, you know, I guess the Red Sox will just have to play it out and try to contend. So, but yeah, and then, you know, I did see some, you know, some reports. I believe it was Ken Rosenthal who was reporting that he doesn't think the Indians will trade Trevor Bauer now. So, he didn't mention anything about if they would actually, yeah, didn't mention if they would actually try to add anybody. But he has been saying now that it looks like they won't be dealing more. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I was just kind of looking just for fun. I kind of pulled up the Orioles roster, and I'm realizing they really don't have anybody to trade.
Well, they traded their last guy, right?
Yeah, well, they sold Andrew Cashner off. I know there have been some talk on Michael Given. You know, their team's looking to add him to their bullpen. He's a, I don't know if he's closer material, but he's a pretty good setup guy. You know, but he still has 2 years arbitration. You know, I guess they could finally give up on Dylan Bundy if they wanted to. I know he hasn't had a very good year. But, you know, he's not even 27 yet. So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, again, any team looking for an outfielder would take Trey Mancini. But, you know, again, you're looking at a guy with 3 years off the coaching class. So, you know, you're sitting on a ton of control. So, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, obviously the Orioles are stuck in the position they're in, but... You know, again, kind of like the wrestling situation, is there anything to sell? You know, because nobody's taking Chris Davis.
No. And what does he have left? Isn't he like 25, 24 million a year?
Yeah, he makes 23 million until he's signed through 2020, 2022. He's got three more years on that contract after this. So, you know, I mean, they do get out from under Mark Trumbo after this. You know, even though today's standards, he's only making $13.5 million, that's reasonable. So, yeah, I mean, they have a ton of money if they actually wanted to go out and spend some of it. I don't know if they would or will they, you know. But, yeah, it will be it'll be interesting once things kind of actually get going and it's just no longer, you know, who's going where or what's going this way or that way. But, you know, we'll have to see. But I don't know. How much longer do you think it takes till we get a big time trade?
I think it's going to be at the 12th hour.
Yeah. Everybody's until the 31st, kind of wait and keeping the cards close to the vest?
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those where, though, I think it's got to be one team that does it, and then in trade mode, we got to do something now because, you know, our rival did.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of all it takes, right? You get the one team to get it started, and then it all kind of starts rolling out.
You know, because I'm surprised the Brewers, like, you know, you brought them up, the Brewers and the Cubs. You know, neither team has seemed to make any moves that might counter each other or, I don't want to say scare, but in essence, kind of scare the other team. You know, especially the Brewers, because, you know, they were able to knock the Cubs out in, you know, the final game of the year and then, you know, taking it on to the wild card game. So I'm surprised that they haven't made any kind of move, especially since I think it was Julius Chassin, you know, who was pretty much kind of out of nowhere and had a resurgence last year, but has kind of fallen to back of the line or however you want to put it. It just isn't up at the front, kind of dominating this season. So I'm surprised they haven't really gone out and tried to get that extra starting pitcher.
So, yeah, you know, maybe they still will. I did find it interesting. Somebody went out on a limb and made some predictions. What's this guy's name? I think it's Mike Petrillo. 20 players, yeah, it is. 20 players predicting where they're going to go. So, starts with Bumgarner, who he actually has staying in San Francisco. But interestingly, he has Bumgarner staying, but he has Will Smith being dealt. And he thinks Smith will be dealt to the Twins. Now, this is Smith's last year. He goes into free agency. But, you know, he's been a really good closer there in San Francisco. If they keep Bumgarner and it looks like they're going to go, would they start giving up bullpen pieces?
Well, I think you got to look at, you know, maybe a guy you're not planning on signing.
Yeah, I guess that's always possible. So,
you know, because, I mean, a lot of the times over the last couple of years, the closer has a good year. And then, you know, I mean, the Giants fell for it once with Melanson. You know, the Yankees did it with Chapman. You remember Wade Davis's deal. And then, you know, the Cubs with Craig Kimbrell this year. So, I'm sure the Giants are rethinking, hey, we want to sign Bumgarner, but Will Smith might be out of reach.
You know, they do also have it for the Giants. They have Tony Watson going to the Cardinals. So that would make it a really interesting trade deadline for the Giants. They would keep their starter, but they would shuffle off two bullpen pieces. Watson is in the last year of his deal. He does have a player option next year for $2.5 million. I doubt he would exercise that because he could make a lot more, you know, on the free agent market. So, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting for the way they got the Giants set up there. Then they have Jake Diekman, who's currently on the Royals. They have him going to the Astros to kind of shore up that bullpen. I could see that. They need some bullpen help. I thought this was kind of interesting. They have Marcus Stroman going to the A's. You know, he's been a really hot name, and I just read yesterday that the Blue Jays were looking for a pretty big return on Stroman. Are you thinking the A's would be a team that would pay?
I mean, you never know. But the A's seem to make a little bit more straight-up deals. So I don't really know what their farm system consists of. But in the past, when the A's make a deal like that, it's usually major league for major league.
Yeah, and, so you know, I mean, whoever gets one-year control, he's got one more year of eligibility, you know, in 2020 before he hits the free agent market. It could be interesting if he runs the whole thing, but I just don't know if I see that price that Toronto is asking right now. It's a fun one. They have Zach Greinke going from the Diamondbacks to the Phillies. You know, obviously everybody thinks the Phillies need another starter, and they can apparently afford the contract here, Dan. Do you, you haven't heard much about Greinke going for it. Do you see something like that maybe happening?
I mean, anything's possible, but that would be huge, I think, for both teams.
Yeah. Here's the guy we have. We talked about yesterday, Dan. Good old Zach Wheeler. The prediction for Zach Wheeler to end up with the Astros. So he could go to Houston, get hurt, and join Lance McCullers on the injured list. But, you know, when you start to look at the Astros, you know, they are short-handed in the rotation. It's really just Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Wade Miley. And then four and five, they really kind of. So it would make sense to add a starter. I just don't know if Wheeler would be the guy. So
that's a tough one.
You know, and here's one, Dan, that I think you and I would both trash if it happened. How about Eric Sogard to the Cubs?
Why?
Well, you know, they're blaming it on they say that Addison Russell and Daniel Descalzo aren't producing enough second base. So Sogard would come in and fill that void.
Well, I mean, then do you think they'd have a straight up deal, a straight up major league deal? And number two, I think it's dumb because have you seen the Cubs won the World Series on a little bit more on defense than total offense. It was a combination of both. And watching Russell and Baez, if they just got away a little bit from the stupid sabermetric crap and, you know, the heat or the backlash of putting him on the field and quit worrying about that and letting his performance stand out, him and Baez are a combination that can't be touched. And, I mean, and let's be honest, the Descalzo deal was completely just stupid to begin with. It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that didn't work out at all.
That was just dumb.
So, yeah, you know, and then you wonder, I mean, okay, so the Cubs go out and get Sogard. What happens if Ben Zobrist comes back?
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, there's just, you know, you're looking at a guy. I mean, I think my biggest problem with this is Sogard is having a really good year, but he's 33, and these are numbers that he's never been close to in his career. Does it continue the last couple months of the season, or does he go back to being Eric Sogard?
Well, not only that, I mean, is it any different than the Discalso deal in the end?
They're really the same player. I mean, I think the same player for probably less money. I don't know what I can find Sogard here and see what he's actually making. Okay, where
break
the heck
time,
he's a Blue Jay.
Go over there.
Sogard's a Blue Jay, right? Why can't I find him on the list here? So,
I keep thinking he's
where are you? I'm going to double check here. It says Eric Sogard, infielder, Blue Jays. But on my Blue Jay payroll, I have Smoke, Grychuk, Galvis, Buchholz, Richard Phelps, Gurriel, Jackson, Hudson. All right, then I got Stroman, Giles, Sanchez, Shoemaker, Travis, Tepera, Drury, Biagini, Maley, Hernandez, and Borecki. Where is Eric Sogard? I don't know. I don't know what he's making this year. So there you go. Maybe the Cubs get him for free, and that's how the deal works out. Otherwise, I don't know. Well, here you go. Dan and I spoke a little bit about Yasiel Puig. The prediction here has him going to the Indians. I don't see that happening because I don't believe that the Indians will be adding anything regardless. So even if it's just a rent-a-player type move, I don't fully expect them to do any of that. Another guy Dan and I talked about a little earlier, Hunter Pence. No surprise here, the prediction has him going to the Rays. The Rays have been very interested in Pence. You know, obviously he's just on the one-year deal. You know, Texas brought him in as a, you know, on a minor league deal with an invite to spring training. And it's paid off huge for the Rangers. Sadly, they've slumped as of late. Pence is only making $2 million this season. So he's the perfect fit for a team like the Rays to, kind of add in. The other hot name here in Chicago, of course, Nicholas Castellanos. The prediction is they have here is that he's staying with the Tigers. The difficult spot with Castellanos is if you move him to the American League, he is the definition of defensive liability. The reason he went from third base to the outfield was because he couldn't play third base. So he went from being a below-average third baseman to a subpar outfielder. So, you know what I mean? Obviously, he would just be a rent-a-player guy. He's making just under $10 million. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But I wouldn't be surprised if he really needs to stay in the American League. It's not a real option type of deal to ship him off to the National League. You know, and be like, oh, okay, hey, good luck with him in the outfield, because you would need some luck to get that done. All right, here's a new name we haven't heard, Mike Minor. There had been some talk. Minor himself actually came out and said he didn't sign with the Rangers to be traded. So it would be interesting to see, you know, if and what they do. And you know, when they signed him, you know, they did give him a 3-year deal. He's got 1 year left on it, so you would be getting Minor for next year as well at $9.8 million. They have him going to the Yankees here. And interestingly enough, they have the Yankees giving up a Clint Frazier or an Estefan Florio, who are two of their better minor league outfielders. Of course, the Yankees could afford that, but that's kind of an interesting deal. And then they would, like I said, they would get Minor for next year. He could slide right into the role, you know, CC Sabathia had in the rotation, because this is CC's last year. So, it definitely could be an interesting fit there. We go back to the Blue Jays where we run into Ken Giles. Now, you know, he's a closer here in Toronto, but they have him going to the Dodgers where he would obviously step in as a setup man. And, you know, and then he could close on days Jansen wasn't available. And, you know, to be fair, Jansen is getting a little older. He could probably use a break. You know, you probably have to pay a little for Giles. He's got a year of arbitration left. You know, he's making $6.3 million this year, and then he'll go to arbitration. So that number's going to go up. It's just, you know, how high and will it be acceptable? You know, I think even if it was the double and he was making 12.6, it would still be a pretty good deal for them. And, you know, then I found this is an interesting name. They have Chris Martin of the Texas Rangers going to the Dodgers. You know, he would be a setup guy. Another rent-a-player situation. Martin is making $2.25 million. He is 33, but he, you know, even though this is, what did I read? Let me see if I can find it here. It's just like his second year or so. Yeah, he has just a little over 1 year of service time in the major leagues. But since he went to Japan, he qualifies as a free agent next year. So you wouldn't have to worry about arbitration or anything with him. The next couple pitchers here, this guy has him staying put. He doesn't see the Tigers dealing Matthew Boyd. And he has Felipe Vasquez staying with the Pirates. The Pirates have already flat out come out and said they will not be trading Vasquez. But, of course, in the situation they're in, his name is always going to come up because, hell, he's, you know, he may be the second best left-handed closer in baseball behind Aroldis Chapman. So, you know, some may even say he's a little ahead of Chapman because he's younger. You know, so that's, you know, that's one of those things, but don't expect him to go anywhere. We move along. It looks like Shane Green is our next name here. Having a really good year as the Tigers closer. They have him going to Washington I went too far down. Gotta go back. Yes, they have him going to Washington to the Nationals. You know, this makes really good sense. The Nationals need some bullpen help. Green is making $4 million this year, and he does have a year of arbitration left. So they would be able to get him for this year and next year as well. So that, you know, that could be kind of interesting there. All right, we move along. Corey Dickerson, currently with the Pirates. They believe that Dickerson might end up with the A's. You know, he could be that, you know, under the radar kind of outfield move that the A's make. It could have fit in with the Rays as well. But, you know, they just picked up Homer Bailey, you know, so they could jump on a guy like Dickerson. Dickerson is making $8.5 million this year, but he will be a free agent. So there's no long-term commitment. They would literally just, you know, renting him for the time being. So, yeah, you know, maybe it's something Oakland would do. Then we move along, and this is an interesting one. We haven't talked about too many Mets, but how about Todd Frazier maybe being moved? And how about Todd Frazier being moved to the Red Sox of all places? Now, you know, he is in the last year of his deal. He's making $9 million, but it's just for the final year here. So it wouldn't be terrible. He has played first base in his career because you would think naturally, well, they wouldn't need him with the way Devers is playing. But Devers has had his issues against Washington. So maybe Frazier could sell him at that point, but with the way Devers has played, I don't know if it's going to take a lineup just, you know, last season. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting move, and obviously it's another rent-a-player type situation. So, you know, maybe we'll see some of these happen, and, you know, maybe we won't. But, I can see the options of all of them. You know, I'm sure there's a few other guys that love them. But going to be too many tonight, so may be kind of stuck.
Is that the entire list?
Yeah, Todd Frazier was the last guy. So, you know, that was that was it. So, you know, but I did see here, Dan, you know, they did the MVP the other day, just kind of some voting. Well, this one, it looks like they've been Rookie of the Year. So I'm interested to know if your Rookie of the Year is compared with their Rookie of the Year. It looks like in the American League they have Brandon Lowe winning the award. Yordano Alvarez of the Astros finishes second, with John Means of the Orioles finishing third. So that means no Eloy Jimenez. I think he kind of bumped the boy out of his running. But, and Lau is actually hurt right now. So maybe, you know, is it possible that Alvarez catches him? Because everybody loves this guy. They can't stop talking about him, even though he's only played like 30 games. So Lau being out, there's a chance Alvarez catches him, or do you have somebody maybe they're forgetting about in the American League Rookie of the Race?
No, I guess I haven't even really looked into the rookies at all. I think it's one of the categories you kind of forget about after a while.
Yeah. So, you know, then over in the National League, no real surprise here. They have Pete Alonso winning the award. Fernando Tatis rolling in at second, and then Mike Soroka of the Braves getting third. Oddly, I think Soroka may be having the best year out of all of them, but Alonso's hitting all the home runs, so you know he's going to win the award because that's just kind of how we vote now. I don't have any real complaints with what they did there. I just kind of thought it was interesting when I saw it to see how it goes up. No, go ahead, because I was going to change something and throw something else at you. So what were you going to say then?
You had talked about how they were thinking of throwing a tournament in the middle of the season. You know, some kind of crazy crap that's supposed to revitalize the game. I don't know how it would work, but do you think it would get to a point where maybe they start doing first and second half awards? I mean, if you think about the way the game is played now, do you think that would fit it a little better and maybe give guys an opportunity?
I have to say that may be one of the best ideas I've heard. With the way rookies are handled now, because guys come up so late, and there's no reason a guy couldn't win awards in both halves. But yeah, I mean, between the way rookies and pitchers and some of these guys are handled, that's a fantastic idea. You know, I mean, you hit the 81-game mark, and you hand out some awards, and then you hit the 162-game mark, and you hand out some more awards. You know, it's the perfect made-for-TV award type of thing that they love so much. You know, I definitely think it's something they need to consider.
I don't know. I just, you know, with you throwing it out there, and I guess I never really thought about it, but, you know, we usually go through this crap, you know, 14 games into the season. So it's kind of nice to see it halfway through as opposed to listening to, you know, who's the best player, you know, after 2 weeks, you know, and how Shohei Ohtani is the greatest player ever. Well, he's only played seven games, you know, so. You know, I just really thought of that right now, and I thought it would be kind of make it just, like you said, make it a little bit more exciting, and the way the game is played. I just don't see why not. Not only the way the game is played, but, you know, injuries kind of bar guys.
Yeah.
Or not
guys
out of
running. There would be nothing stopping a guy from being able to win the award in both halves. you know, I mean, if you went out and had a fantastic year, you could easily, you know, claim the award for, you know, the first half and the second half. So, you know, I just, that may be more, you know, imagine how much more excitement that could add coming down the stretch. You know, you could have two guys kind of battling it out for the MVP award.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then it kind of gets people sticking with baseball in the time of the NFL opening up. I mean, because let's be honest, the NFL offseason is definitely not anywhere near exciting as the NBA offseason because it just seems to happen so quickly. And then right about now is when training camps, so everyone's talking about football. You know, training camp's opening. Oh, my God. You know, go watch guys stand around. So, because it's, because they're not allowed to wear pads. They're not allowed to touch each other. They're not allowed to basically do anything. So the only exciting thing about spring training is the kicker, because he's the only one who can do a real thing. And maybe the quarterback, because he could throw the ball. But, you know, and then with the NBA, it does get exciting with the off season, and, you know, it might take away a little bit, and, you know, that might be something that just brings everyone back to baseball in the middle of summer.
Yeah, it is kind of humorous, isn't it, that everybody gets so psyched up about NFL training camp and nothing happens because they can't do anything.
Yeah. You know, and I'm definitely thankful my dad was able to take us up to Wisconsin to see the Bears play. It was Platteville, Wisconsin back in the 80s. Did I say Wisconsin right? Did I put the right, tone, inflection on the syllables? I don't know if I got the accent right, but, you know, when we went, we seen actual scrimmage. We seen offense and defense get into a fight. It wasn't super physical, but it was enough to a lot of yelling and a lot of pushing. And Walter Payton.
Yes. Yeah, no, the funny thing I wanted to tell you before we run out of time here was, I don't know if I mentioned this one to you or not, but in our money league, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I are having a really solid year, but we're having problems in our bullpen. So I had some extra guys on our bench that I thought I could deal for a bullpen, you know, for a closer. And you probably won't be surprised by this, because I think I've told you something like this before. I sent out 6 trades and got absolutely 0 counter offers.
Wow.
You know, and like some of these teams I tried to make deals with are at the bottom. I mean, they're going nowhere. You know, the one team has like 9 wins for the season. So, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe they'll be interested in making a trade. Yeah, no, didn't even counter it. And, you know, the sad part was, one of the deals, I had a Eduardo Escobar going to a team for a closer. The dude's been fantastic for Arizona, and the deal just got flat out rejected. So, I just kind of gave up. I don't know what to do. You know, I tried to get Puig earlier in the season, and the guy wouldn't even talk to me. So, you know, they make some shady trades between each other, but God forbid anybody will trade with me.
For some radio, that's